Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Just want to read a scripture this morning, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 3 and starting in about verse 14, where Paul here is just thanking God for the mystery that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again for our sins, that they can be forgiven and we can experience the life of God. So he's just thanking God for what he has done. And then he says, in the light of this, or for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. And then he says this, which is very interesting. I think we need to grasp it today. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. God's desire is that we, in the realization of what Christ has done, that we be strengthened in the inner self. You know, many times we try to live life from the outside in, but God's plan and purpose that we live from the inside out. And that's why he says in 3 John 2, that, beloved, I wish above else that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul, your inner life, prospers. And God is very interested in your inner person. I know what it's like to be weak on the inside, and I know what it's like to be strong on the inside. Am I in the right house today? There is a human strength that you develop in the experiences of life so that your human spirit became strong. It says that John the Baptist, he became strong in spirit. And that's through taking on responsibilities and just living the human life the way that we should. As we take responsibilities, our human spirit gets stronger. We carry the weight. Because there's people here today, you just kind of think, oh, I'm not too sure if I could get married, not too sure if I could carry the weight. And then you get married, and then you grow into it, you carry the weight and responsibility. Then you think about having kids, and I'm not too sure if I could carry handle kids. And then, you know, you begin to have kids. You so love having kids, you have 25 of them, And your spirit is strong to carry that responsibility. But what he's speaking about here is not so much the strength of the human spirit. He's speaking about the strength of your spirit. The one that is connected to God. Because you can have a strong spirit, but not be connected to God. But how much better to have a strong human spirit, but to have a strong Holy Spirit within your life. And he says that you'd be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And then he says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Or Christ may dwell in your hearts by the way you feel. Now, it's not how you feel. It's what you know. You know, a couple of mornings over Christmas period, just having all the family around, there's 16 of us, I got up some mornings and I didn't feel saved. I felt exhausted. But it didn't mean I wasn't saved. It's not a matter about how you feel, it's about what you know. It is good to feel Christ within your life and feelings come and go, but you've just got to know that Christ dwells within you. And it says that Christ dwells in your heart, what? Through faith. It's a faith and trust that you're willing to relax into Christ and allow him to carry you, where you're not just experimenting, can I trust God? No, you just relax in Christ and trust him for his salvation. Trust him for what he's doing in your life, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. And those words may sound a bit foreign, but basically what it's saying is that you'd be established in God. That you're not insecure, does God love me? You know, sometimes, remember when you were a little kid, girls and boys, and you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and you pick up a flower, then you'd pick off the petals, she loves me, She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Whoever did this, she loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Or he loves me. He loves me not. She loves me not. Oh, dear. And I think sometimes we treat Christ like that, not so much with the flower, but just with the experiences of life. You've got to understand that God's love for you is everlasting. He made an everlasting covenant with us. So it's never on God's side. Sometimes we kind of doubt ourselves, but don't doubt him. And may we grow stronger in our love for Christ. And he says, the more that you understand that you trust God and trust Christ through faith, the more established you'll become and the less insecure and tossed here and there. You know, Paul says, hey, I am confident that he who started the good work in me, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, letting your root system go deep into Christ, into his house, and there is a stability that no matter what the wind, you stay planted in the love of God. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So not only saved, not only established, but you are filled with the knowledge of the goodness of God, that you can know the height, the depth, the length, and that you can begin to get into God and experience how great he is. We sing the song, how great is our God. But in 2017, you plumbed the depth and you found out how great God was for you. But just think, as we look into a new year, we have a great opportunity again to plumb the depth and see how great our God is, how high, how wide, how strong, and just to know the sustaining power of the love of God within your life. Now, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundant above. What are we talking about? The one who is able. I'm able to do a few things, but he is able to do all things. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. No wonder he started off by saying that we may be strengthened with power of his spirit in the inner man, because the outworking of God's goodness is according to the power of God within our life. And what I love about God, that he is able to take us far beyond what we can think or imagine. Now, if you've been alive for a while and lived on this earth and you love God, I guarantee that God's taken you much further than you could have if you never had God within your life. I get amazed at where I am in life today, because I know where I come from, and I never forget that. And I am constantly reminded of the God who has taken me far beyond whatever I could dream or imagine. And the story is not ended yet. And the story's not ended for you. You might feel, oh, you haven't gone far in life. But I want to tell you, today marks the end of an era for you, or of a season. Tonight, at midnight, tomorrow, whatever it is, you will step into a whole new season for you to keep on moving forward in the purposes that God has for you. One version says this, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to that power that works in you. And I'm saying, God, work that power in me. Am I in the right place today? God, work that power in me, for my church, for my family, for my financial world, for the people I'm yet to reach for God, for influence. God, work your power within me according to the power that works in me. But it says a couple of words, that he is able to take you above and beyond. As I was waking up this morning, those two words were in my mind. 2018, he is able to take you above and beyond. Above and beyond. In your family, in your world, he's able to take you above and beyond all that you could ever think or imagined according to the power that works within your life. So if God in 2018 wants to take me above and beyond according to the power that works within me, this was my question this morning is, I either need more power or I need to stop the power leakage. I need more power or I need to stop the power leakage. I don't think I need power because he said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I don't think it's a God issue. I think he'll give us power for the journey. We don't have to feel it. We just have to know it. That whatever we face in 2018, he'll give us the power. He'll give us the grace to get through it. Even if you have to walk through the river of floods, he says he'll be with you. You won't be overwhelmed. So he'll walk with you through it so that you can live a life above and beyond. That which could drown you, he'll be with you, get you through it, to lift you to a greater height in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes we go through trouble and you're just saying, God, you could have fixed that for me. He could have fixed that relationship. He could have helped in that finance. He could have. And sometimes he does. And sometimes it seems he doesn't. Because he's got each one of us on a journey so that we can know the love of God in every situation of life. You might think, is life fair? I think, look at life sometimes, I think it's unfair, but that's not about fairness, it's about his goodness in the long haul of what he's doing in your life. God can save you from, or God can save you through. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he could have saved them from the fiery furnace, but he saved them in it. And I believe that the power of God, he is able to do both. And I believe the end result is the same. He's doing something in your life that reflects his very glory and image. Don't look at someone else and say, why do you save them from it? And I find myself in the middle of it. God's got a different track for each one of us, but it's his grace that's in amongst all of it. So I come to this conclusion. For me to have the power of God within to my life, to live a life that's beyond and above, there's a couple of things I need to address. There are things that I need to do to maintain the flow of the power of God in my life. And there's things I need to stop that are causing leakages in my life. And I want to make this as practical as possible. So each one of us can go away from this meeting today thinking, yeah, I know that God can help me live a life that's above and beyond because of his grace. Now, what do I need to do or keep doing? What do I need to hang on to for the power of God to be resonant within my life? I think, number one, you being here today, I believe it's a great power source in your life. You have been recharged, you've been refilled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God's going to go forth and as it is, and your life is going to be aligned. And I just, as I look at this and as I look at being here today, there's one thing that will help you singly above anything else, and that is being in a Spirit-filled church where people are praising, where people are worshiping, where people are reaching out to God. There's something that's released into the atmosphere that affects you for good. It aligns you, it inspires you, it empowers you, it helps you in your marriage, it helps you in your work. There's one thing above anything else that can help you, it's just being in church. Oh, with a good attitude. Okay, the other thing I was thought about is spending time listening to the Holy Spirit. I find the Holy Spirit's a nagger. Does that make sense? He's a prompter. He'll keep on prompting you. He doesn't condemn you. If you feel condemned, that's the other camp. That's the devil. You rebuke him in Jesus' name. But the Holy Spirit, what he does, he convicts you. He just prompts you. Hey, get that right. Get that right. And my prayer is to the Holy Spirit that if I'm off track, keep prompting me. Never let me go. And may I be a quick responder. You know, David says, you know, that his heart slew him. He got, whoa, man, I've offended God. I really didn't realize it. You know, and sometimes our heart, oh, man. Got to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's not just a convictor, he's a convincer. He will prove to you what is right. If you have a love for truth and a love for the Holy Spirit and you're walking in the light, you're in fellowship, you know, sometimes people think, oh, I don't want to go into deception. You'll only go into deception if you isolate yourself. If you stay in a healthy fellowship, stay, you know, connected to the Word of God, live a vibrant Christian life, I just believe the chances of you in going into deception are pretty rare. People go into deception when they get a mindset of I'm right, everyone else is wrong. When they isolate themselves, you make yourself prone for deception. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, fellowship one with the other, the blood of Jesus washes deception out of your life. So spend time listening to the Holy Spirit. The other one is, let his word read you. As you're reading the word, sometimes you read it and you read it and it's cool and it's always good and it purifies, but then sometimes it'll start to read you. And it may be like, you are a child of God. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Then it might say, if you confess your sin, oh yeah, God, you've been prompting me about that. I confess my sin to you. It's like a mirror. In the Old Testament, they had this lather, I think it was called, and it was a pool of water where people would come in and they'd look at their reflection and they'd see themselves. And it talks about the Word of God being a mirror that we look in and it begins to reflect the Christ-likeness in us. And sometimes the blemishes, we can correct them and we can just see the life of God begin to shine within our life as we just allow the Word of God to read us. How simple is that? Whatever, next one is, what I need to do or keep on doing is whatever he prompts me to do, I'll do it. You might say, you're unsure if it's the Holy Spirit, God prompting you. Well, what is your vision? What is the plan and purpose? Is it going to bless your family? Is it going to bless the house of God? And I just believe that God has a way as he prompts you, he'll keep prompting, and to lead you in the direction that you know. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. Are you hearing me today? And I find in my life that there's very rarely there's big roads, crossroads, where I've got to make major decisions. Of I'm, you know, leaving my job, or I'm getting married, or I'm changing my career. Very rarely there's big crossroads of decision, but there's many milestones of obedience where you just come, yeah, we're on the right track, keep going, keep going, keep going. What leads me to where I need to go? Keep going, keep reaching out. And then, you know, as you're part of our church here, you know, John and Carol been here 35 years and still going on. Going on, miles of obedience, not that many crossroads, but keep on being obedient, moving forward. So what am I speaking about? Whatever he prompts you to do, move in that direction. If he's prompting you to be generous, be generous. If he's prompting you to tithe, just tithe. I've just found that it's easier to give in sooner than later. Are you here? Talk to that person about the Lord. Talk to your neighbor. You get that prompting. And Let's learn to respond to the promptings in the moment of the prompting. There are things in direction where we need a bit more prompting, but when it comes to blessing someone or reaching out to someone, we should not need that much prompting. It's an opportunity to be a blessing. Okay, love people. Now, some people think, you know, I can do my spirituality and I don't need to be in fellowship and that kind of stuff. Well, if you're not in fellowship, you know, and you've accepted the Lord, sure, you'll go to heaven, I think. But God didn't create family for no reason. And he keeps on commanding us to love one another. Now, not everyone can be a friend because we haven't got the capacity for everyone to be our friend. But everyone should have the capacity, everyone should have the potential to be your friend. Why? Because we've got the love of God within our hearts. I believe loving people is demonstrated in your serving. Because you can sit on the power of God and it just sits there in a container, but sooner or later you just kind of think, that's going to get stagnant. It's going to diminish. But if I create a channel that the power of God comes into my life and through my life and is a blessing to my family and to others, we're creating a flow. There's not a leakage. It's a direction. We're firing up other people's lives. We're turning on the lights in others. We're turning on the heat in others. We're seeing the power flow through. And there are things that I want to constantly do and continue to do in 2018 to go above and beyond. The other one is, what are things I need to stop or to let go of? Yeah, this is a good one. Now, God did a major work in my life probably about 10 years ago when I was coming into a new season of leadership and development. And as I kind of look at my life now, it just seems like God is doing another rejigging within my life, ready for the next season. Because there's seasons in our life where you may keep doing what you're doing. Like I've been pastoring here all these years, but I've got to keep on being pushed up. Everything may look familiar, but I'm in a different degree, different level of authority, responsibility, and the same in your life. Your surroundings may not change, but you change because seasons change and you go higher. The way of the righteous spirals upwards. And even in your relationship with your family, it should be spiraling upwards. There's new seasons where God rejigs your life and he says, you've got to let go because now you've got teenagers and you need a new dimension of understanding. Or your marriage is developing now and you need a new dimension of understanding. Or your church is growing. Or your connect group's going. The surroundings may not change, but something is changing in you to get better and stronger at what you do. He's always chipping away, but sometimes he gets a chisel out and says, oh, come on, that's got to go. Come on. What do you think you're doing? Let it go. Let it go. So you can pick up. It may not even be a bad thing, but you need to let it go so you can pick up the greater thing that God's got for you. Things to let go of, things to pick up. My last scripture is found in Hebrews. I just want to read this to you. Everyone say, last scripture. It doesn't mean I'm finishing. Therefore, also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Everyone say, every weight. And the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's set. Your life is set. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What are we to look at? The goal? No, to look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are to continuously look to him. He's set it. It may go this way, that way, this way. But you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Not just the goal. He is the goal. But ultimately, if we can just keep trusting him. The story is told of a bald eagle. In America, they noticed it could not fly to the height that it should. And these bald eagles, you know, they have a wingspan from 1.8 meters to 2.3. They are huge creatures. So they got close to it and they found out it had a 30-foot chain wrapped around its legs. Somehow it got caught up in a trap and this chain got wrapped around and even though he could fly, he couldn't reach the heights that he would normally fly because the chain had entangled him. He was using a lot of strength, flapping hard, but he couldn't get above to soar. He couldn't rise above and beyond. So somehow they tranquilized the bird, cut the chain off, and they just stood back in wonderment of how he just flew off into the heavens and start to glide to be the person or the creature that God had created him to be. I just wonder, what happened to you in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or the 2000s or last year and that kind of stuff? As something began to entangle you. And I'm not saying go witch hunting today and let's look deep in the heart and see what it is. I'm not into that. I believe that God makes it very clear the things that entangle you. And I used to belong to a church where they say, every week, okay, let's look deep into your soul and let's just look at anything that may be offensive to God. Hey, I was glad to get out of that rat house. It's crazy. It's not how God works. He brings things to your mind that need to be dealt with. Are you hearing me today? We're not into witch hunting, but if God's revealed something to you that's entangling you from the last season, I believe that we should do something about it. And everybody said? Amen. So a weight. The weight could be an offense. But the sin could be you're carrying unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness. You know, people look at me and say, oh, John, you're a bit of a hard nut. No, underneath I'm pretty soft. I do get offended. I do get hurt. I do get offended. But I tell you what, I'm not going to be let it to be a weight and a sin that holds me down. Because if you get hurt and offended, we've got this supernatural thing called forgiveness that God's given to us as a gift that we can put into operation so that we don't get entangled by the things that we were and the history and we can start to see the chains broken off because we do not want to be a person that is a carrier of unforgiveness, resentment, or bitterness. The other one is hurt. The weight could be hurt. The sin is gathering more hurt, misunderstandings that gather around your soul. And I know what it's like to have a soul that's bound up with insecurities and fears. But I tell you what, I'd rather be free in Jesus' name. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank God today for His freedom. Because now I'm free to serve God. Disappointments can be a weight. The sin is that you live a life of disappointment, disillusionment. Some people are doing that today. You've been disillusioned. No, it's not what I thought it'd be. You know, some people think, man, I can't wait to be a pastor because I don't want to work anymore. But anything to do with ministry, ministry means work. I've never worked so hard in all my life since I became a pastor as I do now. It's work. Some people get disillusioned. I'll get involved in ministry and that kind of stuff. And I don't know what you're thinking, but it's work. It's work for Jesus. And don't get disillusioned. And sometimes, oh, I'm not appreciated and that kind of stuff. Join the club. You should be appreciated. But sometimes you're not. You've got to look beyond that and don't carry disillusionment because it'll take you out of the race. We've got to let those things fall off our life in Jesus' name. Okay, sometimes the weight could be a wrong choice. But the sin can be having a lifestyle of wrong choices. Where you just keep on making the wrong relational choices, wrong financial choices, and on it goes, and you're so entangled with it. And God says, okay, it's start to let go of those things. Let them be left in 2017. If it's a financial thing, I know you can't walk away from it, but don't increase it. Let's see it diminished in Jesus' name. Withholding generosity can be a weight, but becomes a sin when you become a mean person. Oh, they want your money. All they want is you to do stuff. Hey, get over that. Get over it. It's all part of life. Stay generous. You choose where your generosity is expended. You choose where you do your good deeds. Don't become a mean person. Because if you hang on and be mean, your life will tend to want. But he who has a generous eye will be blessed. And I just want to declare to you today that if you've had things in your life that have been besetting, they keep coming up. It could be resentment, it could be financial issues, relational issues, or just things from the past. And you just think, man, enough is enough. When is enough enough? Enough's enough when you're willing to step up to the plate and say, enough's enough. And sometimes you may have to step up to the plate a couple of times. But at least you're willing to look it in the eye and say, you're going to come down. I'm not going to be entangled with this any longer. Whatever the issue, whatever the things have been, I'm not going to be entangled with this. It's going to loose its grip on my life. Oh, my parents were like that too. Hey, someone's got to say, this thing's going to loose its grip on my life. And I'm going to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. If God is able to take me above and beyond all that I ask or think according to the power that works in me. So that means in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my church, in my finance, in my sport, in my work, in my studies, everything. God is able to take me beyond and above according to the power that works within me. Not a stubbornness, but a Holy Spirit power. A strong human spirit that can carry the weight of responsibility. Because our communities and your home will be as strong as your spirit. Let's keep our spirit strong. Let's keep a godly conviction in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.